Chapter 21. As they watched the reunion of Corporal Crazewell and his distant kin, Leanna sat beside Reach, beaming. Then she turned to him and took his face in her hands. Rough hands that knew work and lived a hard life. Those of a hunter. A survivor. Unsure what this gesture meant, Reach sat frozen, eyes locked with the woman. For the briefest of moments, he thought she was going to kiss him. Instead, she spoke. "This," she whispered, tilting her head toward the men. "This good." "I'm glad," Reach said, taking her hands from his face and holding them in his own. "Leanna, I need to ask you something important." A look of concern appeared in her eyes. "I need to speak with Brody. I think he can answer some of my questions, but he probably won't do it unless he's granted permission. Can you tell Brody to answer all of my questions?" That was the simplest way Reach could think of to get around the layered and complicated levels of access that Alexa warned might prevent him from getting details from the AI. It was functioning, albeit with a few hiccups, and so that probably meant that its security protocols were intact. And it listened to Osei Crazewell and Leanna, which suggested they were now imprinted as authorities. Just as Captain Bosa or Dr. Roman were the ultimate authorities Alexa answered to. Leanna waved at the android, who was passively cleaning his armaments. "Brody!" The AI looked up, shrugged, and went back to his work. "Brody!" she repeated slowly. The android looked up again. Leanna pointed at her feet as if telling a family pet to come over. Brody stowed his weaponry, much of which was built into his armor, and walked over to her. She pointed at Reach. "Talk to Jared. Tell him what he says to tell." Brody nodded and turned to Reach. His voice boomed inside the shelter, cutting short whatever was left of the reunion and snapping all eyes to him.
"I have been instructed to tell you whatever you want to know, citizen. Welcome to Camp Muir on the planet Amir. What knowledge may I bestow upon your brain?"
"You sound a little like Optimus Prime to anyone else," Day transmitted. "Mixed with a little Max Headroom?" "Sergeant Tran," Reach said, motioning the man over. "Brody has been instructed to tell us whatever we need to know. I'd like you to be here so you can ask anything that comes to mind."
"Roger, sir," replied Tran.
"Wait one, Ranger," Brody shouted. "Or Ers were to talk to the Jared. Sergeants aren't Jareds."
Reach and Tran exchanged a look, but Brody quickly had a solution to the problem.
"I know. You can ask your Jared a question, and he can ask me. Chain of command."
"Leanna?" Reach tried. She comprehended what was happening and instructed Brody to tell both of the men what they wanted to know.
"Roger, hoo-ah," said Brody, giving a massive thumbs up. "You Rangers say that, right?
"Sometimes," answered Tran.
Reach had his first question lined up and ready. "How old is this colony, Brody?"
300 years have passed since the inhabitants of the Muir exited stasis."
"You're sure of that?"
"Roger."
"Why do you stutter?" asked Tran. "You took some damage or something, right?"
Yes, the android replied. "I suffered damage during the crash. My memory modules were knocked loose. I was able to land most of the pods safely, but mine came down hard. Things only got worse over time."
"How many people are here?" asked Reach.
"At last count, 999, give or take."
"Give or take?" asked Tran.
Yes, of course. Births, deaths, hostile activity, disease, animals, natural causes. One guy killed himself when his girl found some side action."
"What kind of animals?" Tran asked, looking more than a little interested.
"Many kinds of animals. Some great big ones, 20 feet tall or more. Some small, cute little ones, about this big."
He cupped his hands and pretended to kiss some cute, furry creature cradled between them.
"What about food?" said Reach.
"Who's hungry?" the android shouted. Everyone can cook, even me. We've got all kinds of things. Liana makes this, salad kind of thing. They're tubers, but not really potatoes. She finds them. I smash them, beat them, curse at them, attempt to fry them with my rage.
The rest of whatever he was saying devolved into heavy breathing. Are you okay? Tran asked.
Roger Dodger, thank you for asking. How are you? Hey, are you hungry? And who's Alexa? Should I remember her?
Alexa? Reach asked. How do you know about Alexa?
I can hear her transmitting to you.
Bust it, Alexa said, chiming in. But I'm not ready to make contact yet. He's unstable. You keep talking, Reach.
Reach raised his eyebrows.
She's an AI, like you. She came with us aboard the boom.
Brody tapped the side of his head.
That explains it. She's been trying to get into here for a while. Pass on a message for me, the Jared.
What's the message?
Tell her.
Brody's tone shifted to that of a smooth-talking Lothario.
Come on in, baby. The water's warm.
Reach and Tran stared dumbly at the walking, talking battle suit.
Say it just like that, Brody insisted.
Alexa, Reach said.
Yes.
Did you get all that?
Yep. I am attempting to access his operating system to determine whether or not he is still fully functional. It is standard procedure when two AIs meet. However, I have been unable to gain access.
There she is again, Brody exclaimed.
Despite having no face beyond a mirrored battle helmet, he managed to look thoughtful.
Can I trust that lady, though?
Yes, you can trust her, replied Reach.
Okay. There. She's in.
Oh,
it kind of tickles.
Reach exchanged an uneasy glance with Tran.
Let's get back to supplies, Reach said. What are the colony's stores like? Are they eating well?
Brody nodded.
Oh, yes, they eat well, mostly foraging. They keep trying to grow crops, but the animals come out of the woods and eat the... Say, are you hungry?
Negative, replied Reach. What about weapons?
Like these? Brody asked, popping out an assortment of rifles, grenade launchers, and other weapons built into his next-gen armor.
Yeah, just like that, only for personal defense. Rifles, machine guns. More like what those on the far wall are carrying.
Oh, sure, we've got lots of these. Many are broken, rusted solid, or missing pieces, though.
Tran sighed.
How many are functional?
Brody said, tapping his chin thoughtfully. One.
One rifle? Tran asked, bewildered.
I see more than that in this room.
Sorry. I thought you meant how many badass AIs were on location.
Brody paused and turned as if looking at an invisible camera.
There's just one of those, baby. Me.
So this thing is nuts, Tran said over implant.
How about badgers? Reach asked.
16 badgers, replied the android with a satisfied nod. And they're all dead as doorknobs. Not a tiny bit of juice left in them. Just like the pods, all our comm gear, the works. No power plant, no power.
That was going to be my next question, Reach said with a sigh.
If the enemy amasses, I can throw a badger at them, Brody said reassuringly. Don't worry.
I was hoping for more, if we're being honest, sir, Tran transmitted. People are a resource, but it doesn't seem like any of them are going to have any experience doing anything technical.
Reach nodded.
Brody, do you know what happened to the original crews of the Muir and the Longmire?
I do, Brody said. They're all dead.
How'd they die? Asked Tran.
Many died during the crash landing. I brought them in as softly as I could, but it wasn't soft enough. The survivors remained in cryo waiting for help. They needed the boon to get the colony going properly. Those were lonely times for me. I watched a lot of movies. You ever see Commando?
Reach brushed away the question.
Maybe. So the survivors, they stayed in cryo upon landing?
Most of them, yes. For a long time.
He slapped the side of his head.
Okay, that's enough, lady. Out you go.
I've been expelled from his mind again, Alexa said. Keep talking to him. I'll try to get back in.
How long were they in cryo, Brody?
999 years.
Wait, Tran interjected. You mean to tell me 1,000 years went by before you even thawed the survivors?
No, 999.
Alexa pinged Reach and Tran.
I believe his memory units have been corrupted to the point where he is unable to accurately determine the passage of time. May I feed you some questions to determine the extent of this problem without my having to fight him for access?
Roger, said Reach.
I still got it, Brody shouted to the room.
Brody, Reach said, relaying the first of Alexa's questions. How old are you?
999 years young.
How many stars in the sky?
999.
What's 999 minus 1?
998.
What's 999 plus 1?
Brody froze in place, then uttered what Reach could only describe as a long digital sigh before saying,
Hey, you guys ever see Rambo First Blood Part 2?
Wait one, Brody, said Reach, anxiety now creeping across his skin.
Roger.
Reach conferenced with Sergeant Tran.
If what Brody is saying is true, then we're a good deal more than 300 years late to the party.
Tran shook his head.
This is seriously messed up, sir.
Alexa interjected.
Unstable as he is, I believe Brody is mostly telling us the truth. His dating system is probably inaccurate. I don't think it has been over 1,000 years since we left Earth. But his recall of recent events is likely correct.
300 years doesn't feel recent to me, Alexa, Reach said.
Ask him about the arrival of Rupak.
When did Rupak show up? Reach asked Brody.
The Rupak were on site on our arrival. We fought them in the stars. They lost. A second contingent arrived 8 years after the crash landing. I fought them. I tried to capture one. Told him, dead or alive, you're my prisoner. He chose dead. I stacked those bastards like cordwood. To survive a war, you gotta become a war.
But there's still Rupak on this planet.
Roger, those are the ones who keep waking up.
From cryo?
I tried to find their ship. Couldn't do it. But some of the older generations, they defected. Those guys hate each other. They're all dead now.
Are more Rupak strike teams continually showing up?
Not if they know what's good for them.
Tran sighed.
Sir, I think this is going to take a while. Sun's going down. I don't think we're going to make it back before then unless we take Alexa's hauler.
I'd rather leave it patrolling, said Reach. We're getting important intel. Let's plan on staying here for the night.
Tran nodded.
One way or another, sir, we'll get it all done. I hope we can get the power plant back online and flying. Having a spare would be great.
Agreed. We also need to find their weapons cache and see what's left. Spare parts, if nothing else. But they might be swimming in ammunition.
Reach turned his attention back to Brody.
Can you take us to your power plant? We'd like to see what's left of it. Even if it can't be moved, if we can restart it and get some of the badgers or haulers charged, we can get them back to Camp Ohio. It'll be the most efficient way to haul cargo, too.
Cargo?
Asked Leanna.
That's right.
Sir, Tran said, standing to stretch. If we're staying the night, then I'll need to bring Massaw in so he's not stuck out there after dark. I'll get Unger to go with one of these natives to go fetch him so he doesn't catch an arrow on the way back.
Hey, you guys done here? Brody asked. I was gonna watch Demolition Man tonight.
Roger.
Reach turned to Brody.
We're trying to determine how feasible it is to continue on mission.
Brady nodded.
Roger that. The mission comes first. Movie time will wait.
Of the ship's modular pods, how many are left?
64 pods did not go hasta la vista, sir.
It'll take all night to check them and see what they have of use still inside, Tran said. Sir, may I send Kreese and Day to assist? Corporal Vance can split up the work that way.
Do what you think best, replied Reach, mindful that the call wasn't his to make, even if the sergeant seemed to feel otherwise.
and ask the Elder for people to help. I'll stay here to see what else I can find out. It's time to start practicing some diplomacy. We've got to get these colonists to feel comfortable with us.
Good luck, sir,
whispered Tran, before turning to visit with the old man sitting on the floor. Osei Crazewell seemed supportive of the proposal to combine the survivors of Boone and Muir into one group. He was happy for Reach to see what he might be able to make use of in the pods. He said so much of it was of little value to them anyway, and instructed Brody and what amounted to his honor guard to help the Rangers with whatever they needed. Brody accompanied the Rangers outside, leaving Reach alone with the old man and Lyanna. Both watched him curiously.
What is life like out here? Asked Reach.
The old man smiled and shrugged.
It is life. We are alive. We eat. We love. We die.
Right, but how easily do you defend yourselves out here?
We have guns. We also have Brody. He defends us. Sometimes, when there are too many Rupik, we must fight. We set the trap. Many. Sometimes use the arrow. They do not attack often.
How many of your people have they killed?
He and Lyanna had a short conversation.
We do not know for all time, Cracewell said. Many. But we are many. They are many. It has this way always, always been.
Why does Rupak still attack? Asked Reach.
Crazewell looked confused, as did Lyanna.
Why do the Rupik kill? The old man asked.
Reach nodded.
Because this is what the Rupik do. It rains. We do not ask for why. The burn rises in the sky. We do not ask why.
Do you think you and your people would come to my people to live with us? We would protect them, teach them, and care for them.
Lyanna and Crazewell talked in their own language for a moment.
Lyanna, she is my daughter, said the old man. She, like me, is surprised you do not want to stay at this place with us. We do not know your people.
We are the same people, Reach said. We are all Osei.
The old man sighed and stared at the ground for several seconds before speaking.
If we do not go, will you take us by force?
No, said Reach, though he didn't know that for sure.
I have been taught not to make such a decision in quick, to think on such a thing, to consider.
Reach nodded.
I am to having many responsible. The people, this place, it is our home. We have lived in this place. They do not see that place. They do not speak as we speak. They will be a fright.
It's not something I expect an answer for immediately, Reach said. But time is of the essence. We need to know whether to build up Camp Ohio for both our peoples or attempt to live as separate colonies against Rupak and the other threats presented by the planet.
They are angry, said the old man. The night becomes cold. The sky becomes dark. The dark brings the fright. I must wait until the sky is bright.
I respect that, said Reach, offering the old man a smile. You are wise for taking your time with this.
Lyanna asked her father a question that caused his eyebrows to go up.
Tafut?
He asked, gesturing to Reach. She nodded.
Lyanna wishes to prepare your meal. It is special for a woman to ask. She is good at making tasty.
Reach smiled at Lyanna and nodded.
Of course, thank you.
but first I need to check in with Captain Bosa back at our camp, at the Boon. I'll need to step outside for a few minutes if that's okay.
Yes, said the old man.
He nodded to Leanna, who clapped her hands together once and hurried from the pod.
Reach followed her out. Hatchet 02 reporting, he said after opening a connection.
Go for Hatchet. What have you learned?